Well, praise the Lord forever and give Him glory. Amen. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father, and praise You and give You glory. Thank You so much, Father, for blessing us with Your Word. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for illuminating it to us. And Jesus, thank You for Your blood and Your life that's made it all possible. In Jesus' precious name, amen. There are so many in the world today that are just drifting along. Just drifting along. Many in the world today are just drifting along. Their path is not clear. Their path is not clear. Their route is undefined. And their aim is not focused. The result is a life of non-achievement, a feeling of being on a treadmill with no end in sight, and deep down we know we are meant for so much more than that. Today, the distractions are many, and people are just going through the motions as if they're on a treadmill, you know, going nowhere. Unfulfilled, unsatisfied is the life that many people are living today. I heard a person once say that, you know, don't be afraid of failure. Be afraid of succeeding at something that just doesn't matter. In other words, a wasted life. Let none of us ever come to that place. You see, deep down, even though a person is going through these things, even though a person feels like they're, you know, not getting any traction, they're not going anywhere, you know, they thought, you know, man, I think that my life should amount for more than this. You know, there's got to be more to life than this. I've heard that many times, you know, from people. You see, all those people, that is an expression of knowing. That is an expression of knowing that deep down is the knowing that we are meant for so much more. We are meant to live extraordinary. And that's the title of the sermon today, amen. It's called Live Extraordinary, amen. That's what you are called to do, praise God. Turn over to Psalm chapter 139, the book of Psalms, chapter 139, amen. Psalms 139, and I'm going to read verses 13 through 15 from the New King James Bible. Psalm 139, amen. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 15 through 15 from the New King James. It says, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You. When I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You see, the psalmist said, I knew it in my soul. My soul knows, he said, that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that I was created for a great life. I know that I was to live and been called to live an extraordinary life. The psalmist knew that, and that's why he said that. Amen. And that my soul knows very well. And people experience this yearning for a more significant life. Not a better life. See, mankind the world over has confused a significant life with a better life. They think, amen, that, you know, if they make more money and have bigger houses and more cars and boats and cottages and planes and trains and automobiles, amen, that, you know, praise the Lord, the next thing you know, that gives them significance. No. That is a better life, not a significant one. There are many people who have lived very, very well, amen, in this life, only to end up in the next life having not lived significantly in this one. That is exactly what happened in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, as Jesus tells it. The rich man lived lavishly every day, and there was Lazarus begging at the gate. But who lived a significant life? It turned out to be Lazarus the beggar, not the rich man. The rich man, when he died, woke up in hell in flames. Amen. And he looked across, and there was Lazarus, you know, walking with Father Abraham. Amen. And he said, well, you know, just come and, you know, the rich man said, just come and dip your finger in water so to cool this, you know, fire that's on my tongue here. Amen. And he said, no, I can't do that. I want to, but I can't, because there's a great gulf fixed, and that we cannot cross to you, and you cannot cross to us, is what he said. You see, the beggar had lived. You know, don't judge the book by the cover. Praise God. There are people living significant lives, you know, that are foreign to our eyesight. Amen. But there are people who appear to be living great lives, but they're not really. But they're not really. The psalmist knew this when he said that. Turn over to Daniel chapter 11 then. Daniel, the 11th chapter. Amen. You see, God has called you, with a holy calling, has called you to himself. Amen. That's significant in and of itself. Just that alone. Amen. Daniel chapter 11, I want to read verse 32. This will be also from the New King James. Daniel 11 and verse 32 says, you know, you remember what we just read? You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, God says, he formed you. Amen. Now watch what Daniel says in Daniel 11 and verse 32. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt it with flattery. But the people who know their God. But the people who know their God. Not the people that are, you know, called by God, who have received salvation but don't really know him, you know, that kind of thing. No, the people who know their God shall be strong. Now, how many people have noticed there's some weak Christians? Amen. Okay, well, you know, they need to know their God. But those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. You will never do much in faith if you do not know your God. You must know him, not just know about him. Amen? Think and consider this question then. Think and consider this question. Do you believe God's word is talking about you? Are you fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you believe that? Do you know your God? And if you do, then you can carry out great exploits and be strong. So, do you believe God's word is talking about you? Do you believe you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself? Are you a person who knows their God? If the answer is yes, then who are you not to be great? Who are you not to be great if you believe the Word of God is speaking about you? If someone was to ask you, what is your life's purpose? What would you say? Like, hey, Brother Ted there, you know, what's your life purpose? Well, to go to church, to go to work. If someone was to ask you, what is your life's purpose, what would you say? You see, my personal purpose statement is, live an extraordinary life so countless others will as a result. That is mine. Personally, I'll share that with you. Amen. I've had that for some time. I want to live an extraordinary life so that others will also as a result. Why is that? Amen. We all need a personal purpose statement. Why? To help us keep a clear path. People's paths are not clear because they have none. We need a personal purpose statement. You need one personally. Not to just tell everybody, but one for your own self. To help us keep a clear path through life. To help us define our route and to enable us to maintain focus. It is a way to remind ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. And to encourage us to live extraordinary. That's what it's for. Every morning you should wake up and read something like that. That's how you should start your day. Amen. I am going to live extraordinary today. Amen. Why? So that others will as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, praise God. 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians then, chapter 14, starting in verse 1, says, pursue love, watch this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, you know, everybody gets, oh, I'm going to prophesy, like some kind of fortune teller with a crystal ball. No! No, that's not it. Okay, let's read on. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, heavenly language, does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies, you see this, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies or builds up himself. But he who prophesies edifies, builds up the church. I wish, Paul says, that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may be edified, may be built up. See, what Paul is saying that is, if you're speaking in tongues, if you're speaking in tongues over here, nobody understands what's going on, so therefore they're not built up, they're not edified. All right? But Paul says, so greater is the one that prophesies because it's more for the whole, you see, amen. And you can carry this outside the church, amen. Can you speak comfort and build people up outside the church? Of course you can, amen. That's living an extraordinary life, praise God. You don't just do this for yourself, no. What is the apostle saying? But to keep yourself encouraged and so that you may encourage the church and others. Amen? I mean, that's why. Who are you to be ordinary? You're called by God. You're a child of the living God. Who are you to be ordinary? We do not, see, we don't live an extraordinary life so we can have a bigger bank account, nicer cars, larger houses, and more toys. That's not the reason. We live an extraordinary life, so many others will as a result also. As a rising tide, amen, as a rising tide raises all ships, so too your example and encouragement to others help them to step out and live an extraordinary life also. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. You see, it's hard to build up, it's hard to encourage others when you yourself is not encouraged. You have to encourage yourself. Amen. That's why Paul talked about both. He says, wow, it's really good if you encourage yourself, if you build yourself up. You know, in other words, if your self-talk is good and it's positive, that's what it needs to be. So many people, my God, I'll tell you what, if you were inside their head and heard what they were saying to themselves, I mean, if you met somebody on the street and they spoke to you that way, well, you'd want to fight them. And yet you talk to yourself that way. See, Paul said it's good to encourage yourself, but greater than that is to encourage others, to build others up. Amen. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 then. You know, who are you to be ordinary anyway? God, you have God's life. Luke 12 and verse 15. You see, it isn't about the bigger houses and the nicer cars and all that stuff. Luke 12 and verse 15 says, and he said to them, Jesus, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life, are you not experiencing life the way you should? For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. See, Jesus didn't say having those things was bad. What he said was, your life doesn't consist of that. There's more to you than that. He is saying, amen. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, amen. And verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16, favorite scripture, amen. Jesus says to us, to all people, he says, let your light so shine. You know, and we kind of go through life as if it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Let your life so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and then glorify your Father that is in heaven, amen. I mean, that's the end result. It may not be up front. They might see your good works and think you're super awesome. Amen. And if they do, hopefully they'll come to you and say, hey, I would like to do that too. But the end result is God gets the glory. May not happen this week, but it'll happen. This comes to us, you see, with great force. This letting our light shine, I mean. This comes to us with great force if we do not, amen, let me say it this way, if I do not find a way to live extraordinary, if I don't find a way to live an extraordinary life, I may very well cheat thousands of people. I may very well be cheating thousands of people. Underdeveloped potential cheats those around us. Who have you been cheating? Right? Underdeveloped potential, amen, cheats the people around us. Cheats the people around us. Those we touch, I mean. Those we touch, those we influence and impact, as well as depriving ourselves of joy, satisfaction, and opportunities. All that happens because the potential that is in there is going on undeveloped. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, the Apostle Paul says. What was his motivation? You see, when something compels you, it's your driving force. What did he say? He said, for the love of Christ compels us, is my driving force, Paul said. Because we judge this, that if one died for all, and, you know, this is like, somebody can study this for a long time. Amen. That if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, talking about Christ, That those, why? That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Who are you living for? Amen. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Jesus spoke about this in Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. But Jesus, it says, but Jesus called them to Himself. Amen, I like that. Hallelujah. Jesus called them to Himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. You know, bosses. And their great ones exercise authority over them. So the bosses have bosses. Yet it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you, Jesus said, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. Do you want to rise to the very pinnacle of God? Be a slave of all people. Amen. For even the Son of Man, even Jesus Himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. You see, the love of God compels us to serve. To be really great, you'll have to serve a lot of people. Some people go their whole life and never figure that out. They think the way to become great is to, you know, cheat, take advantage of, manipulate, all those kind of things. People I'm talking about. But no, to become great, you will serve. I'm telling you that almost without exception, every great person, man or woman, who has accomplished anything on earth today in large companies or whatever it is they're doing, I'm telling you they have learned to serve others. Now, their rise to the top, you know, may not have been, you know, the cleanest one. But they come to find out, if you're going to maintain a position of greatness, you will have to maintain a position of service, of serving others. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To all. Let us do good to... When? When you have opportunity. Yeah, but it wasn't convenient. Too bad. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't say just, you know, do it when it's convenient. He said when you have opportunity, whenever that opportunity comes. Man, you know what? That guy called me at 2 o'clock in the morning wanting help. I'm tired. You know, I didn't sleep last night hardly at all. I need to get some sleep here. Well, then just pass up the opportunity. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially those who are of the household of faith. You see, the love of God should compel us. That must be our driving force, amen. The love of God, praise the Lord. To become what? To become a servant, as Jesus said. When? When we have opportunity. See, it all fits together. Amen. This is the formula for living an extraordinary life. This is it. Living our life to its fullest potential. Now, I don't just mean, you know, in Christian service. This does not mean just in Christian service. It says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Didn't say if they were in the church. Didn't say if they were your family members. Amen. Living our life to its full potential is not an opportunity, it is our responsibility. We have been given God life. God life. God gave us that. And what did Paul say before? He said, those should live for him who died for them. Do you see how it becomes a responsibility? It is a responsibility to live an extraordinary life. Amen. Living our life to its full potential is not an opportunity, it is our responsibility. Many are the stories, many. I mean, you just can look through even, recent history, ancient history, long history, whatever, even today, presently, there are people all over the place, and many are the stories of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. You see, to live an extraordinary life doesn't mean that you're extraordinary. It means I'm an ordinary person, amen. Living by the power of God, hallelujah, to my fullest potential, amen. That is living an extraordinary life. Amen. Hallelujah. People like John G. Lake, great preacher, turn of the century, 1900, around there. John G. Lake, who took the gospel of Jesus Christ to South Africa, healing tens of thousands of people and bringing many more than that to Jesus Christ for salvation. Many more than that. He lived an extraordinary life. How about Clara Barton? How about Clara Barton, who took to the battlefields as a nurse, saving the lives of many hundreds of wounded soldiers during the American Civil War, and later becoming founder of the American Red Cross. At the time, it may have looked like an insignificant woman, but she truly lived an extraordinary life. Then there was a young boy named John. There was a young boy named John, who at 12 years old started a candy business to provide for his mom after his dad had abandoned them. How many people have been abandoned in our culture today? How many families have broken up? How many dads have run out on their family? How many moms? This happened to this boy named John. So he started a candy business to provide for his mom after his dad abandoned him. And then still, at a young age, he decided that he must expand his business. This is in the early 1900s. He went to see a wealthy railroad man known for his tough dealings. Salesmen would run out of his office crying. Grown men. That's how tough this man was. But this young John took confidence, went and seen this railroad man. He struck a deal with him and went on to become one of the wealthiest men in America. The railroad man's name, who he went to see, his last name was Vanderbilt, of the famed Vanderbilts. And the boy was John D. Rockefeller. You see, a lot of people start with meager beginnings, but you don't have to make that your life. You can still live an extraordinary life. Amen. Then again, there is Bill Burke. Bill Burke, who on May 23rd, 2009, at about 8:30 in the morning, dropped to his knees and thanked God while he was on the summit of Mount Everest. He was 67 years old when he did it. Amen. You see, an extraordinary life. Many are the ordinary people who have lived extraordinary. How much more us, the children of God? We get so wrapped up in, doing Christian service. But you can do Christian service just living your life extraordinary in whatever you do. The Bible says, whatever you find in your hand to do, do it with all your might. In other words, live extraordinary. Why? So that countless others will too. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John 2 and verse 20. 1 John 2 and verse 20 says, but you have, and now you know right here, no one is left off the hook here. Well, Dave, listen, brother Dave, you don't know that, you know, I'm not educated. Well, you know, well, you know, join the club. Amen. Lots of us aren't educated. Amen. Well, you know, but I'm a shy person. Well, develop some kind of skill so you can talk to somebody. It's a skill. You can learn it. Become extraordinary. Amen. You see, it says in 1 John 2 and verse 20, you know, it says, but you, talking to us, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. You have an anointing. You know what that means? That's power. Oh, but I just can't. Yes, you can. You have an anointing. You're called by God. God can do it. And, you know, without your help, he'll get the job done. Amen. Philippians chapter 1. So you have an anointing already from God. You know, I talked recently to a lady who's just, you know, retiring, you know, whatever that age is, right? Okay. Retirement is not an age, right? She's probably 60-ish, maybe. Okay. But, you know, she's talking about going to university and getting some kind of PhD, master's, or whatever it is, something like that. I said, go for it. Absolutely. She has an anointing. Go do it. Amen. And guess what? If she does do it, how many others will be encouraged to do it too? Amen. I mean, I'm not super excited about going climbing Mount Everest or anything, but there's some other things I wouldn't mind getting done. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident, Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Did he make you a good business person? It doesn't matter. You could be. You have an anointing. Whatever it is, did he make you a good student? Amen. He can. You have an anointing. God is, what good work has God started in you? Well, maybe you want to, you know, explode with hospitality and help those, you know, who do not feel at home. Many, many things. Many things. Well, maybe you do want to go climb Mount Everest. Amen. You have an anointing, and being confident then, because of the anointing, that God has started this work in you, being confident that he is faithful to complete that work. He's the one that's going to help you do it. Amen. Who are you to deny greatness then? You know, it kind of sounds like Job, don't it? Amen. You know, when God was quizzing him, hey, who are you to deny greatness? I am in you, God says. Amen. You go argue with God. Amen. You see, it is an obligation to be the best version of ourselves we can possibly be. Develop. It is an obligation, a responsibility to become the best version of ourselves, amen, that we can be created in God, hallelujah. Not just for us and how our life will benefit, because it certainly will, but not just because of, you know, for the benefits in our own life, no, but also for all the people depending on us. but also for all the people depending on us, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our community. Living an extraordinary life is living fully. That's what living fully is. Living an extraordinary life. We all have enormous potential inside each of us, and if there are parts of that potential that we do not develop, we are cheating the rest of the world out of the contribution that we could have made that God has intended for us to achieve. Amen. I'm telling you, the world is not a better place without you. It isn't. You were meant for great things. You were meant to live an extraordinary life. You were meant, amen, to make a great contribution to society and the world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the King forever. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 15 through 17 from the New King James. Luke 19, starting in verse 15. And so it was that when, you know, this is Jesus doing some teaching here, amen. What did Jesus teach people in his day? He taught them that they ought to go and live extraordinary, amen. Here's what he said. And so it was that when he returned, this king, having received his kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina, or the money, has earned me 10. He got tenfold. And he said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, you know, God has deposited himself in us, amen. We are to develop, amen, tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, amen. Glory to God. Now that's living extraordinary. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father has meant for us to develop our hidden talents and abilities. We are to be the best we can be, not according to someone else's opinion, not trying to be better than anyone else, no, but better than who we were yesterday. Amen. Better than who we were yesterday. Praise God. Living an extraordinary life is like when a flight attendant says you must put on your oxygen mask first before helping those around you. That's what it's like. When you first hear that, it sounds a bit selfish. But no. However, what use will you be to anyone if you do not take care of yourself first? In other words, you cannot develop and help others develop if you first do not develop. You know, I was reminded of that when the flight attendant says, hey, you know, if we get into trouble and the masks come down, put yours on first. Do not try to help the person beside you until you first develop. Amen. John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10, amen. Glory to God. John 10 and verse 10. I'll read this one from the Amplified Bible this time. John 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Amen. Notice there is an enemy who will try to keep you ordinary. All the enemy has to do is keep you to be an ordinary person. By stealing your dreams, by killing your ambitions, and destroying your reward. We live in one of the most dangerous times in history. Right now. Believe it or not. This is the most dangerous time to date in human history. Maybe not physically, no. Many are they that become distracted with the cares of this world and do not chase their dreams. Or get lulled to sleep with comforts of this life, thereby trading who they could become for the ease of life. Then there are those who let fear hold them back and settle for a life of mediocrity and averageness. How dare you to be ordinary? How dare you to be ordinary? 1 John 4. Well, you know, I'm just kind of weak, shy. I don't think I'll amount to anything. You see, that's the enemy trying to convince you of that. But look what 1 John 4 and verse 4 says. You are of God, little children, 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because why? Because greater he, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Jesus has come to give us the abundant life. He came to give us life and that we would have it more abundantly. Not only for ourselves, but for others as well. The purpose of an abundant life is so that others will too. So that others will too. Amen. The hearts of men become brave in the presence of the courageous. Amen. We are to live an extraordinary life. Amen. So countless others will as a result. How many families, how many children have went off on this safe, non-significant, average life because the father dared not live extraordinary. I said extraordinary, not reckless. Amen. A little difference there. Praise the Lord. Titus chapter 2, okay. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. You see, Titus 2 and verse 11 through 15, I mean, this could be a, you can study this for a long time, but all through the Bible, Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, is all telling us, live an extraordinary life. Don't let it pass by. Don't be average. Why? So that others will do the same. Titus 2, starting in verse 11, I'll go down through verse 15. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Amen. How many people know that God is extraordinary? Amen. If you're going to live godly, you're going to live extraordinary. Hallelujah. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. Speak, now here's the instruction, speak these things, exhort. Amen. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. You know why he said that? Amen. Because I believe Titus was a slave. He said, don't let anyone despise you no matter who you are. That goes for all of us, amen. You see, many will be the obstacles now Many will be the obstacles, the hurdles, and challenges faced by those who set out to live extraordinary. But also, much is the joy, the satisfaction, and the reward of a life well lived. Amen. There is little safety in a significant life and little significance in a safe life. You will not live extraordinary playing it safe. And you will not live safe when you're living extraordinary. There will be hurdles, there will be challenges, amen. But glory to God. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 while you're turning there. Philippians chapter 4. You see, there will be obstacles and hurdles to overcome. Amen. Mostly ourselves. Amen. Mostly ourselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, many will be the obstacles and the hurdles. But praise God, we can do it. We can do it. Because much is the satisfaction and the joy of a life that is lived well. You see, there is very little safety, you know, amen, in a significant life. There just isn't. You see, ships are safe, right? Ships are safe while in harbor. But they were never built to sit in the harbor. Right? Ships are safe while in harbor, but they were never built to be there. They're built to be out on the open sea. Amen. Weathering the storms. Praise God. Taking on the challenges, hallelujah. When we take on the challenges of an extraordinary life, when we feel discouraged or frustrated or maybe fearful, turn and speak to that mountain and say Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, there will be obstacles. There will be hurdles. But it is in that you end up with an extraordinary life. It is in that your life is forged by fires to become significant. Amen. You are called. We were called to greatness. We were called to greatness. You are called to significance. Live an extraordinary life so countless others will as a result. And if you do, you will know why all things are possible to them that believe. Amen.